If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
In real estate, in business, it's that. It's business. I made it friends. I made it personal. I took the word of somebody and shook their hand, said, thank you very much for taking care of me without any type of documentation to save my butt. And that's something I will never, ever do again. Never.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
From NFL professional to losing it all and working as a janitor, Marcus Ogden realized this is not his story. He is a highly sought-after speaker, business coach and consultant, best-selling author, and more. His journey, which still continues, is one that will encourage you, challenge you, but ultimately inspire you to achieve the success you desire. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. How you doing today, sir?
I'm great. And yourself?
Doing well, thank you.
Wonderful. All right, man, the floor is yours. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on. Where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
So where I'm at now is I am a keynote speaker, national, international. I am executive coach, group coach, consultant, best-selling author, and brand ambassador for several organizations. And I'm also a business owner with my company, Ogden Ventures. And then I also own parts of different companies like a company called Grind Oral Care. It's a healthcare toothpaste product, veteran owned by my partner, Roger Gindesberger, who is out of Salt Lake City. I'm also a small owner of a company called Athlete Foundry, veteran owned by Casey Chipwadia, who's my business partner. And I'm involved with a couple other big things that are coming up that are real estate oriented as well. How I started is, you know, I ended up actually getting into this business after I had my rock bottom moment as a custodian working in 2013, September, with somebody's trash and rotten meat and banana peel and horrible protruding, nasty smelling trash that were my skin, my body, my clothes. And that was my wake up moment to say, Marcus, if you don't take accountability in your life, you will always be right here blaming other people for your failures, and you will always be doing what you're doing now. So that was my wake-up call. And then where I plan to go is I'm always trying to elevate to a higher level, so trying to get more online courses and trying to do more speaking, more consulting, and trying to help as many people as I can so that what I've gone through business-wise, professional-wise, you can learn from me so you can avoid my catastrophic mistakes that I made that almost put me under, both literally and figuratively.
Wow. So, I mean, that's not that many years ago. Would you say April 2013? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
Yeah. April 2013, you were a janitor, which is, you know, janitors are necessary in the world, but it's not the man you wanted to be, right?
Right.
So you found yourself in a position not living out your purpose, not living out your dreams, doing something you obviously weren't in love with. And so what was your first step to get out of that?
Great question, Sam. So my first step is when I had that rock bottom moment, I came home that morning, sat at my broken, flimsy table with my chair that had three of those wheels that you could roll, but one of my wheels was missing. It was so broke, we couldn't afford to buy a new one. Yeah. And I wrote down my three biggest strengths. I was a good communicator. I was good at telling stories. And I wanted to help people. Mm. I computed that and said, okay, I'm going to be a speaker. And I'm just going to go out there and just, you know, I'm a former NFL athlete. They're all going to love me. I'm just going to go up there and just start talking and talking and talking. Every job I did for 2.5 years, Sam, was free. Not one paid job for 2.5 years. Finally got my first paid job in April 2016 with Miller Mott College, small college in Wilmington, North Carolina. I was their 100th commencement graduation keynote speaker. And from there, went to a couple different programs, went to a program at Penn State, got some good mentorship. And I haven't looked back, Sam. I've worked for 19 Fortune 500 companies in the last 5 years as a speaker. Companies like Home Depot, to Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, New York Life, MetLife, Liberty Mutual Insurance, just name a few. And I tell everybody, without coming home and writing down my strengths, Sam, during those 2.5 years, I would have thrown the towel in many times because I was frustrated. I was upset. I was just felt deflated because I made a really bad decision in my real estate construction business that cost me everything.
I want to get to that question about what bad decision, but before we get to that, how did you book, even though it was free, how did you convince the very first person to bring you on as a speaker?
Great question. I leaned on my inner circle. I told people, because I was training football to the youth as a trainer, as a private trainer, I was very blessed to have some very well-to-do, high-end clients because I had a very prestigious high school that was private that cost $25,000 a year to go to. Their athletic director and football coach told parents, if you want your son to be a good player for me, go to Marcus. And that led me to a very good group of people to create my inner circle. And I leaned on them. And I got my first non-paid job for my Pop Warner football team I was coaching. Again, inner circle, met someone here in the area. He worked in healthcare and orthopedic, medical sales. And he was the coach, head coach, and he hired me as an assistant coach for a Pop Warner team. I didn't have any boys, was out there. My youngest daughter, my oldest daughter was actually cheerleading for that. And I wanted to work for him. So I took the job coaching, but I never got to work for him. But he did have me come and speak to his kids who I was coaching. And I was talking to 5, 6, 7-year-olds. That was my first job ever as a speaker.
That's awesome. That is absolutely. There's nothing like humble beginnings, you know? I mean, it's one of those things that I think, when I first started my real estate career, you'd hear these guys, we probably do it unintentionally even now where it's like, oh yeah, we bought this, we bought that. And now we're buying $100 million a year in apartments and it's no big deal. And you're like, man, you missed a lot. Like there were some very humble early beginnings that I think that if we overlook, we miss a lot of gold. So, I just love hearing that story that you're talking to 5, 6, and 7-year-olds. I mean, it's probably something now where like, I don't know what it would cost to get you to go show up and speak, but it's probably not going to be to a group of 5-year-olds. So good for you. Yeah.
That's
good.
For sure.
Right. Right. there's a higher value to your time. So, but you did it. And I think that's the important part is you did it and you kept moving forward.
Right. Right. And then my first job for adults was for a non-for-profit, the Boys and Girls Club. Again, I leveraged my inner circle. I met the CEO at an event and he said, Marcus, look, we're having an event for our board members and our supporters, not a paid job. You'll get 20 minutes up to speak in front of about 250 very successful people. Would you like the job? And then I took it. Then I got my first non-paid Fortune 500 client, NetApp, because one of the gentlemen who was head of healthcare for the state of North Carolina, he's had 2 sons who I trained, and one's now 26 and one, the other one's 24. And they were, one was a senior and one was a junior in high school. I trained them both in football. And I told Dave, I want to become a speaker. If you know anybody looking to hire a speaker, please let me know. And he came to me about 3 months later, hired me to do a job for his company, went to Chicago. They paid for my flight and hotel, no money. I did horrible. I got a horrible review from Dave because I was off topic. I was talking more about business and that was a healthcare company. They want to hear more about football and CTE and concussions. And then he hired me back 6 months later, again, no pay. Went down to Miami, took care of my flight, hotel, went there. This time I focused on my topic and I knocked it out of the park, got my first testimonial letter from a Fortune 500 brand, NetApp, and I just leveraged from there. And I kept doing a lot of things free, inner circle, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got my first paid job and here I am today.
How did you, so there was a 2.5 year gap though, from when you took your first 5, 6, and 7-year-old to when you got your first paid job. What did you do in the meantime to support yourself?
I worked my butt off, Sam. I was a birthday party football clown. I would go to people's birthday parties and play football with their kids as a clown, per se, for birthday parties. Wow. I did a 7-on-7 football camp. I worked at what's called a track out camp. Here in North Carolina, we have what's called a track out system. We have the regular school system when you're in high school, and some schools have it. And then when you're eight, when you're in middle school or lower, some schools have a track out. In school for 9 weeks, out for three. In nine, out three. So I work at the track out doing football training at the gym. I did private trainings. I was a custodian making $8.25 an hour from 10 p.m. till 5 a.m. I did it all, Sam. I was extremely humble. I had no pride. And when I lost my business, right, I still had an ego. It's the contractor's fault. It's my partner's fault. It's the developer's fault. It's all that. The bank's fault. The minute I had that spoiled milk moment, Sam, my ego was gone. And I've never had an ego again ever since. Because I realized that moment about 4:30 in the morning in September 2013, when I had that spoiled milk moment, that my ego had put me on that street corner behind that building, dumping that trash. That's what got me to that corner. I said, I'll never, ever, ever be in the situation ever again.
Right. So talk to us about that. You say your ego got you there, and maybe you can tell us more about this. I was going to ask more the backstory of what happened and what lessons you learned from it, but maybe you want to take this a different direction.
No. So what happened is I was working for a major client, a big construction company, Turner Construction, and a big developer for a city. Turner was my client. I had trusted them. We were on a big project down, big real estate project for Johns Hopkins Hospital, downtown Baltimore. And we were working on the health laboratory, and it was going fine. You know, a $4 million contract, loving it. I gave them a bill for like $1.1 million, got my check. We were rolling. But what happened was there was a river underneath that job site. And we bought out the entire site work package, stone, the excavation, the utilities, and the dewatering. Well, the site wouldn't dry because the river kept running, and we could, no matter what we did, it wouldn't dry. So my contractor that I hired, they ended up doing their job, going away, wouldn't dry, they would not come back. So I had a choice, either to get my bond pulled, which would have killed our company, or do the work. And we were falling behind schedule. The concrete contract was down our neck. The developer was down our neck. And I was young, inexperienced, and I had no real business savvy. So I shook Turner's hand, and they said, just do the work, Marcus, and we'll pay you the change, or don't worry about it. We're good. You're golden. You're our golden child. You're our minority contractor. And I soaked it up, Sam, like a clown at the fair. I'm good. I'm gonna give them my work plus 15% markup. Took them a bill, Sam, after 90 days of doing that work for almost $3 million, between $3 million. They said, great work, Marcus. Your change order is denied. So I had $2 million of work. And about all that, you know, give or take, plus my 50% markup was around $3 million, denied it. I ended up having my bank line shut down, ended up having our equipment line shut down. We were about to sell my partner's shares to a very prominent businessman. And then we had a situation where we had a contractor serve us with money. They wanted money for something we didn't really have, wasn't really our fault. And instead of telling that person the truth, my partner lied to them and said, we don't have this. This is not an issue. They're not stupid. They knew the business. And they came that next day and said to Marcus and to my partner, we're going to rescind our offer to buy your stocks. We don't work with people who are not ethical and honest. Bam, that was it. And that was in February 2013. By April 2013, I had left Baltimore like a thief in the night, and I ran down to Raleigh. And I got here, Sam, $400 to my name left. That's it.
Holy smokes, man. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lessons. I mean, there's some practical advice or practical lessons built into this, you know, I think out of the gate. You know, for those of you who aren't aware of what happened, Marcus, see if I can recap this correctly. You had hired a bunch of subcontractors, and you had then, of course, you were going to bill that back to the general contractor. But when you turned in your change order, the GC said, no, we're not paying you, which meant that you couldn't pay your subcontractors. So your subcontractors come out and put mechanics liens on the property and start suing you guys. and you're stuck in the middle with no way to make ends meet.
Yep. The only difference is that when we ended up getting sued, it was another contract from another job. And then that dewatering contractor, they left it alone. But I ended up doing all of the work that they didn't do.
Right.
So I hired more people, more laborers, more, and it was a wage scale job. In 2012, I was paying $25 an hour just for laborers. I was paying almost $50 an hour for skilled labor.
Right.
I was spending about $100,000 a week in payroll by the time it all came down to it. Between all, we had damn near 20 to 30 people on the job site working 20 plus hours a day, 7 days a week to get that site dry. Plus stone, plus sump pumps, plus this, plus that. And by the time I turned around, man, you know, I was about $2 million done, $2.5 million done. And then I gave him my change order with my markup, close to $3 million. They denied it.
Wow. Wow. That's painful. What are some things, and I don't want to stay here because I really feel like we're getting some other good stuff, but what are some things, like quick things you would have done differently in that situation?
Number one, I would have never done work without a signed change order. Okay. Number one, never. In real estate, in business, it's that. It's business. I made it friends. I made it personal. I took the word of somebody and shook their hand, said, thank you very much for taking care of me without any type of documentation to save my butt. And that's something I will never, ever do again. Never.
Right. Right. I think that's probably the most prominent lesson there of them all. Man, sorry. That's brutal. So fast forward 2016, you're now speaking, you know, you've got your first paid speaking gigs. Now you've gone through, you've been endorsed by NetApp. You've got, you know, now you're booking out speaking gigs. How have you so grown? You said Grind Oral Care, Athlete Foundry. What have been some keys? And that's obviously a variety of industries, and you're still involved in real estate, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, that once again, in a few going on 5 years, one of which, as anybody recalls, the last, you know, 12 months have not been exactly peachy. So you basically got 48 months from then till now, and you've done some really cool stuff. What have been some keys there?
So there's three ways to market yourself: social positioning, which is social media, networking calls, referral calls. The easiest one is referral calls. Hot leads, people that know you, know other people in your network. Those are the easiest things to do. Networking calls, what I call, are warm, because somebody in your network might refer you. You might get some business from there. It takes a little bit longer, but it's not as hot as a referral call. Then you have social positioning, which is the coldest of them all, because it takes time to build. And that's what we have been doing for the last 4 years, let's say 48 but 60 months. We've been on LinkedIn. We've been on Instagram. We've been on Facebook. We're now on Clubhouse. But we've really spent our majority of our time on LinkedIn, putting out value-driven content to show our worth as a thought leader in our industry. What I do with a company is like, take Grind Oral Care. I'm a partner and chief marketing officer. You can go to grindoralcare.com. Again, grindoralcare.com. It's a great oral toothpaste that has been made a little bit differently, and it's great for your teeth. It's great for your gums. And I align very closely with Roger, who is the CEO and founder, and his wife. So we became partners. Athlete Foundry, same thing. I'm leveraging my marketing expertise. They have a great business. They're not a recruiter. It's a platform to help young student athletes from middle school to high school who want to be collegiate athletes create a plan to stay on track to do just that. Then I have other people I'm involved in, real estate businesses, things of that nature, because I have expertise and knowledge from my industry of working in real estate. I take that and I transfer it to working with different partners and different opportunities. But speaking is my core business because it has led us and created for us that ability to get out there, speak, be seen as a thought leader, do great podcasts like yours, Sam, and get our message out to the masses. Where people struggle is in marketing. And it's really sad because what happens is if you're not good at marketing, Sam, when you do get a lead, if you don't close that lead, you become desperate to close lead because your pipeline is what? Not full.
Right.
So we have been very fortunate and worked really hard through some real hard times. And I know what it's like to be desperate and try to close sales and be. That's why I got no paid job, Sam, for 2.5 years. I was desperate. I got on the phone with somebody, hire me. I'm right here. I'm your guy. For example, I had a guy I talked to yesterday, booked me for a job April 13th and 14th. I got an email from one of his team members. Oh, Marcus, I'm so sorry. We double booked you. We already have a speaker for April. We'll have you in quarter three. No problem. Talk to you in a couple months. The old Marcus, oh, well, why do you want to have that guy? I'm here now. Take me. Don't take him. Take me. I would have come across desperate. I would have come across like I have nothing going on. And when you're desperate with nothing going on, you devalue yourself without even realizing it. So what we have done very well is we market ourselves. I suck at website SEO. My partner George doesn't. I suck at trademarks and how to patent things. My partner Albert doesn't. I'm horrible videography. Donovan, who's on our team, is a master. I stink at creating content, picture images, all that for social media. But my business partner, Don, is the best of the best. What I don't do well, Sam, I delegate.
Right.
What I do well is I speak, I market our brand well, and I'm able to do podcasts, coach people. That's my expertise. When I delegated things I can't do well, that's when our things kind of got going in the right direction.
Right. Yeah, I think that's especially those of us in any business, but starting out, that is one of the mistakes that we all make, I think, is that we try to do everything. And there's very few, I forget who it was I was talking to recently, but they basically just came out and said, look, I've got very few strengths. So I'm going to play to the very few I have and then let everybody else take on the things that I suck at, which are quite a few. So, you know, that's so empowering though. Once you've nailed down what you're good at, I mean, does this work for you?
Oh, it works phenomenal because what it does is most people who are entrepreneurs struggle with this main aspect, time management, because we try to do so many things all the time. And if we're trying to watch other people do other things and not focus on what we're good at, our time will get sucked up. Like today, Sam, I have 4 podcasts.
Wow.
You're the first of my 4. After you have another podcast, then I have another one at 3, and I have another one at 5. The more podcasts we do, the more our brand's out there.
Sure.
People say, oh man, once you get on Joe Rogan's podcast, you've made it. I'm like, do you think Joe Rogan's going to have you on his podcast as your first podcast, your 10th podcast, your 100th podcast? Get out of here. You're dreaming. This is what has to be done. But a lot of people say, you ask why we're doing well, because we understand it's not going to happen overnight. And that's what a lot of people, they want instant gratification. If they don't get that, they get upset, frustrated, they want to throw the towel in. Right. I used to be like that. I get it. But once I evolved, things got so much better for us.
That's awesome. Marcus, let's jump into the final 4 here. What is one piece of advice that you would give to an aspiring investor?
Number one, if you're going to invest in a team, know that team. Know who you're investing with, right? You need to be sure they had the credentials to know the project, to know the area, to know the comps. And for goodness sake, be sure that what they say they can do, they can deliver. Be sure to check them and make sure they know exactly what they're doing. So be sure to check out an investigate the team you're looking to work with and be a part of an investor in.
That's great. That is great. What is one thing you are doing to stay on top of your game?
I'm always getting on podcasts. I'm always learning and expanding our reach. I'll never, ever, ever again think I know everything. I'll never again think I know everything. That was what cost me Caden. It cost me my business, my home, and almost my life. Thinking because I made it, like, oh, I'm the man. Today, I read more. I listen to podcasts. I get on podcasts. And I try to just learn from people, do a lot of webinars, all these things. The more clients I have, I also am very big, Sam, on learning from my client base because that helps me to help other people.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Humility is an amazing thing once you ingest it. So good for you. That's awesome. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
I'm sharing my experiences, my highs, my lows, my successes, but most importantly, Sam, my failures, so people don't make the same mistakes that I did. Getting mesmerized by early success, getting an ego that the Empire State Building couldn't hold, thinking that I was larger than King Kong, all those things led to my eventual demise. So I tell people my investing in people is sharing my highs, my lows, my successes, but most importantly, my failures, so you don't make the same mistakes that I made.
That's great. That's great. Marcus, thanks so much for coming on today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
They can go to our website, www.marcusmarquesogden.com, and connect with us. Send us an email, subscribe to our newsletter. It goes out once a month. It's no selling you anything. It's about value. It's about information, how to become better at selling, how to become better at networking, how to become better at building your team. And we're all about giving you free value information to help you in your journey reach your targeted destination.
Marcus, thanks so much for your time today. Do appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.